Well, before I get into the sermon, I was answering in my head the question that Zach asked, and I can guess at least one thing that Millie really likes about our church, because she and I like the same thing, and that is the little dum-dum suckers in Lisa Trevison's office. And one of the issues is that we both like the same flavors. So she'll come by sometimes after preschool is over, and I'll stop by after lunch to have one, and I realize that all the blue ones, which are my favorite, sometimes are gone. So Lisa has started stocking more and more of the ones that Millie and I like, because she's that kind of wonderful person. But I want to talk to you today about things that we love, about special places, this being one of them. The first one to come into my mind, though, as I was reading the scripture, was a camp called Windy Gap. It is a Young Life camp a little bit north of Asheville. And I went there for the first time when I was about 6 years old, and they were actually building the camp. And my dad, both my parents were on the Young Life Committee in Greenville, South Carolina, and they took me up, and he was taken up to see this new camp that was being refurbished and put together for Young Life's use. And then growing up, my church, our Bon Clarkin, was to go to Windy Gap once a year. And the whole church, all ages, would go and stay in these rustic cabins and have a Windy Gap kind of program weekend and be served by high school students that were volunteering for the weekend. Then in college, our fall retreat every weekend was a big college weekend up at Windy Gap, and that's actually where I proposed to Heather one of those falls out on the, behind the main meeting room in a little fireside room. And then all in my 20s and 30s, well, and I guess going on from there, I have once or twice a year gone up for some reason or another to help with the program or the music or to be an adult guest or something like that. And recently, in the last 6 or 8 years, the Barnabas Center, our friends down the street who are a Christian counseling organization, they treat local pastors to a getaway weekend where all the counselors show up and just kind of care for us. And they feed us, there's no charge, and we stay at Windy Gap. And driving in just this last year, there's this, and maybe you've had this about some special place for you, just driving into the camp, I start feeling these warm feelings and nostalgic feelings, and I think, what a special place this is, right? God has done so much here in my life, and so many meaningful experiences have happened here. It's just a special place. Well, this last time when I went in, I was starting to feel that again, and I don't know what was different in my mindset or what had gone into that week, but I had the thought, yes, this is a very special place to me, and I can just anything I look at will trigger some sort of memory. But I had the thought that I've never had before, that the reason this is such a special place to me is not because there are magic trees or magic stones or magic water in the lake, but it's because God has shown up there. God is the one who is so extraordinary and so impactful in my life, and all of those experiences I had throughout my life there, it's because God showed up there, and it just happened to be at this same place. And it was such an interesting slight shift in my thinking. I didn't love the place any less, but it drew me to God, and it made me thankful not for a place but for a person, right? For the God who kept meeting me through programs and music and relationships and being cared for. And I say all that to say that in today's text, that's what's going on. The Apostle Paul is writing another letter to some of those early Christians, this time in the city of Colossae, to the Colossians. Right? He was writing a letter to those Christians, and he loves them. You hear that in his words, and he's praying for them, and he's giving thanks for them. But it's not because he loved that Greek city above all others. It's not because it had special rocks or a special house that they met in, though I'm sure there were such places. But it's because what God had done in those places. And he spells that out in this opening to his letter. And so I want to walk you through that. It's much like last week, and I could hear Anne's regret that she hadn't taken a deep enough breath to read. This one was a 132-word sentence, the first half that she read. And I was like, I could hear her going. It's like, when's the sentence going to stop? And it kept going. So we had that last week. That's how the Apostle Paul writes, maybe how he talked as well. I'm not going to walk through it in quite the same way as last week, but I do want to summarize this super long sentence into what is it that he's saying. And then there's a second sentence that's just as long. So that's what it looks like. The first bit is a greeting, like grace and peace to you. Then that next big chunk, you don't have to read it from there, don't worry. That's a sentence, right? All those words, almost 200 words, a sentence, and then one more sentence. That's the Apostle Paul for you. He probably wasn't good at making t-shirts either because couldn't get it all on there. But I want to summarize and look at this first long paragraph with you. So he's greeted them, right? So grace and peace to you. And this is a summary of that almost 200 words. He says, I have heard of your faith in Christ and your love for each other. And so I'm praying for you. I'm giving thanks for you. Right? This is a special place. He's saying you are a special people because you follow, you trust in, you serve a special God. So all of that's just detail for this. He says, I'm praying for you, I'm giving thanks for you, and here's why. It's because of your faith in Jesus Christ and because of your love for each other. That's what you're known for. He gives a little bit more detail in that long paragraph. And he says, this is where that faith and love comes from. I've observed this in you. It comes from your hearing the word about Jesus, hearing the story, and believing it. And it comes from it bearing fruit in your life. So that's like how do you get to that faith in Christ and love for each other? It's through hearing the word and through it bearing fruit in your life. So then in verses 9 through 12, this is the second long section, he says, I'm also praying for you that you will keep growing. Right? So first, he was thankful for them because they trust in God, they know the word. But he said, I'm keeping on praying for you that you will grow in faith, that you'll continue to go deeper in knowledge, that you'll live increasingly more in faithfulness. You'll continue to bear fruit. Right? It's about this point in reading it, I thought, well, that sounds a lot like our theme for next year, right? To grow and to care and to keep growing and to keep caring. We want to grow deeper and deeper in our knowledge and love of God. We want to continue extending our care, not just for each other, but outward into our community. And I had the thought that the things that the Apostle Paul was thankful for his special place with the Colossians, they're the same things that I am thankful for, that we are thankful for this special place that is Good Shepherd. When I interviewed here way back when, almost all the questions go in both directions were about what is important to you, right? What is most important about Good Shepherd and what is most important about Robert? And we both, and this is why there was a love connection, we both said what's most important to us is a personal faith in Jesus Christ. They said we want a pastor who has a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who obeying him and following him, that's most important. All the rest is details. And I was saying, I want to serve a church and find a church who the most important thing is a relationship with Jesus Christ, obeying his word, following him, right? And I think we both looked at each other and said, okay, those are words. We've just met you. That sounds nice, but is it really true? And the more we pressed in, the more we got to know each other, it was true. That's the kind of church you are. And that's, apparently that's the kind of pastor I am, because the weirdest, to me, complaint I've ever got about my pastoring and preaching is, all you ever talk about is Jesus. And more than once, it's been, actually once it was, all you talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it was meant as a critique, and I was like, thanks! Yes! It's working! So anyway, that love of Christ and of the word that tells us about Christ, and then the thing that I could only discover once I got here is how much as a congregation you love each other. It's the same two things that Paul pointed out in the church in Colossians. Trust and love for Jesus and love for one another. Heather and I still talk about this. We arrived with two toddlers, and Heather was 4 or 5 months pregnant with Elizabeth. And The church showed up at our house and stocked the pantries and lined the drawers and welcomed us here. And we were like, oh, if this is the church, we have come home, right? We have found the place. And year after year, as I see you caring for each other and caring for others, I'm like, that's it. What, you know, all the rest is just details. It sounds a lot like the Great Commandment, right? Love and trust God, follow Him, and love one another. Love God and love others. That's what church should be. Paul was saying, I'm thankful for you and I'm praying for you because of these things. And I would echo that and would say those are the same things that make Good Shepherd special to me. And like Paul, I think both I and the session and the staff and the congregation, as they have spoken over this last year at lunches and gatherings, as we think about the future, right? Things have changed. Culture has changed. Our demographics have changed. Members have come and gone. But when we think about the future, our prayer, like Paul's, is that we will continue to grow closer and closer to Jesus Christ, that we'll grow in our faith, and that our care, something we've been known for, our care for each other and our care for the community will also keep growing. So Zach asked in dinner church, if we do grow in care into the future, what does that look like? And I think Mark asked the question, what makes us distinct? What are we known for as a church? And the group started discussing that a little bit, and we said things like we're known for our love for the scriptures, our music. We have been known for drama and creative arts, for the preschool, for youth and children's ministry. And I made the comment of saying, amen, all that is true. But no church can grow into the future by continuing to say, what did we used to be, right? The thing that has not changed and will not change is who Jesus is and his command to love. That's why we want to focus on growing toward God, deeper in Christ, and care and growing our love, our care for each other. Then the question becomes, what will we be known for? If those two things remain central, remain what we fix our mind on, it may be some of the things we do change, but our vision is the same, right? So as I look around, and we talked about this some on Wednesday night, and particularly now after Friday night, I'm like, I think we'll still continue to be known a little bit for music. It seems like God has in no way taken that from our basket. We, for whatever reason, God has blessed this place with creativity and music. With the Christmas shop right upon us, I don't know if you realize this, it's been going for 6, 7, 8 years, but for a variety of reasons, it has moved to Good Shepherd. Last year was the first year we hosted it, and we're still trying to wrap our arms around that, but that it's a big thing, and it is a ministry of caring for our community. I believe it's going to be, it is, and is going to be something we are known for. That's the church that partners with some other people, but that's the church that does the Christmas shop. I think both of those things. I surely hope we continue to be known for our love for Jesus Christ and God's Word and for being a caring and loving place. I think Zach will probably speak to this in a little bit. We are rebuilding our children and youth ministry, but we want to be known for faithful ministry in those areas. Preschool is, in the last year and this year, enrollment is significantly up. All these things, we are seeking to be faithful first. And I think our eyes just need to be open to say, what is it that God wants to do? And whatever God blesses as we follow Him, that's what we'll be known for. The goal is not to be known for, but it's to be faithful in following God. So in just a little bit, during the offering, you're going to hear some sharing from two people, from Chuck Jenkins and from Zach Drummond. And both of them are going to talk kind of along the same lines of what is it that we're thankful for? Why is this place special to us? But also trying to answer that question of where is God leading us? What hopes has God planted into my heart for the future of Good Shepherd? And my prayer with the Apostle Paul is that God will continue to help us grow and help us care better and better. Amen.